listening to KDNK's Public Affairs Program, For Land's Sake. I'm your host, Bill Kite, and today we have guests from the Middle Colorado Watershed, Council Executive Director Lori Rink, and Vice President of the Board, Morgan Hill. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure. Your motto is protecting and enhancing the health of your watershed. That's quite a noble motto. And your mission is to evaluate, protect, and enhance the health of the Middle Colorado River watershed through the cooperative effort of watershed stakeholders. So, Lori, tell us in a broad sense about what you do and whether or not you're a nonprofit. Are you a nonprofit?
Yes, we are actually a nonprofit.
That means people can give money to you, right?
We take it.
All right, good.
We encourage that.
Okay.
Yeah, so a little bit about what we do. So we're focusing on what's called the middle section of the Colorado River. And we define that as the area that extends from the head of Glenwood Canyon downstream to the town of DeBec. So it's a really, it's a very important stretch of river. It's about 75 miles in length, and it includes all the tributaries to the middle section. All the tributaries except for the Roaring Fork River, and that's because our sister watershed organization, the Roaring Fork Conservancy, focuses in on that and
all
does
right.
a great job.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
So that's kind of our area of focus, and what we're interested in is protecting and improving the health of the watershed for all of the watershed users, all of the stakeholders that live in our watershed area.
And what, just give me some of the stakeholders that you work with.
Well, so when we define stakeholders, it's actually anybody who lives in, who recreates in, who works in the watershed. Because we all use water, so it's
right.
important to all of us.
So I live in Carbondale, but work in Glenwood Springs, so I'm a stakeholder.
Absolutely.
All right. That's good to know. Let's talk a little bit about some of the goals. I think you had 7 on your website, which, by the way, if you want to find out more information after today's interview, just go to Google and Google in Middle Colorado Watershed Council, and that will get you on the website. That's the easiest way rather than me rattle off a website you're not going to be able to write down while you're driving down the highway. I wouldn't want you to even try to do that. So, let's talk a little bit about the goals of your organization then.
Okay, great. So our first goal, kind of our overarching goal, is to support the long-term health of the watershed for the well-being of the community and the local economy. So we have a number of communities that we serve along that stretch of the river. That includes Glenwood Springs, Newcastle, Silt, Rifle, Parachute, Battlement Mesa, and the town of DeBec.
Okay.
And so all of those communities and their economies rely quite heavily on the health of the watershed. I mean, we all use water in various ways, for drinking water. We use it for agriculture, for supporting industry, and then, of course, supporting the recreation and environment that the rivers provide. So so that's our first goal, is to support the long-term health. And then we get into the second goal, which is protecting and enhancing water quality. Kind of, water quality is kind of the indicator of the health of the watershed. And so it's important to determine kind of what our baseline condition is. You know, how is it defined right now? And then do we know enough about it? Are there gaps in our understanding about water quality? So that's another goal of ours, is to understand that better and then be able to track how water quality changes over time. Another goal is to promote smart and efficient water use and conservation, because as we all know, there's not quite enough water in Colorado for all of us right now, and that's going to become increasingly more scarce. So conservation is super important.
And another one of our goals is to increase knowledge, awareness, and stimulate interest in the watershed. And again, I'm Morgan Hill, and I'm with Garfield County Environmental Health, and I participate on the Outreach and Education Committee. And this committee works really hard to promote citizen engagement in the watershed, and we also do a number of educational events. One of our biggest ones is our river cleanup, and we usually do one of those a year. And we've had a couple in the Newcastle area, one in Rifle. And this is just a really great opportunity for citizens to get engaged. And we do a film festival also every February that we have a great attendance for in Glenwood Springs, and help host a number of other educational opportunities. So, like I said, this is just a way, when we're talking about stakeholders, a way that we get our stakeholders engaged in issues around the watershed and have a lot of fun, too.
Well, good. I'm glad you have fun. That's important. So I imagine you serve meals or food or pizza or something when you're going on a river cleanup, is that right?
We sure do. There's always a barbecue afterwards. Usually all Lori's right. on the grill, and Alpine Bank donates a lot to the cleanup, and they let us use their grill for that as well. And at the film festival, we have it at the Vaudeville Review, so folks can come and get food from the Vaudeville. But yeah, we usually provide snacks of other at other events as well.
Yeah, Alpine Bank's really good about supporting community events, aren't they?
Mm-hmm, they sure are.
So I have a question for you that I hadn't thought about till just now when you were talking earlier about the health of the watershed. How do you know when a watershed is not healthy? Are there indicators that an average person like me could figure out, or does it come from when you measure the when you do water samples from the watershed, or how do you know it's an unhealthy watershed?
Yes, looking at the quality and the quantity of water that we have in the watershed, and comparing that to what we might expect in these sort of environments is what's important. That's a great indicator of the health of the watershed. So, so there's, you know, as we look at it, there are what is known as background kind of conditions that may impact, like geology. Natural geology can right. impact the quality of water. And that's something that naturally occurs. But then there's what, as humans and having our footprint on the landscape, some of development and that sort of thing can actually exacerbate and create conditions, accelerate erosion and things like that, so that the background conditions are not quite as good as they used to be.
For instance, if people use too much fertilizer, for a golf course uses too much fertilizer, then that's going to run into the watershed, and that could make it unhealthy, couldn't it? Not just golf courses, but too much use of fertilizer that runs off into the river would not be good, would it?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are some of the projects that you're working on right now?
Oh, we've got quite a few we've initiated.
Okay.
So just if I could maybe preface that first.
Sure.
So one of the things that we've been working on over the past few years is our watershed plan. And it's a great planning document. It's a tool that our board uses as kind of its roadmap for what we intend to try and initiate over the next 5 years. So it lays out a number of projects and strategies that the organization wants to undertake. And so we can talk about a few of those that we've started up now, which
would be good.
Pretty exciting. It's always great to move from planning into actual doing things on the ground.
Right.
And some of them are more centered around doing research and understanding, like we were just talking about water quality as an indicator, doing studies and things like that. And others are more what I was talking about with that citizen engagement piece for outreach. So
it's
multi-pronged.
do you have projects that citizen scientists can do? In other words, the average person might be able to help you take water samples or that sort of thing?
Yeah, I'm glad that you asked that.
Okay.
Because we do have a citizen science water quality monitoring program. So I mentioned that, you know, we want to complete our understanding of what the existing water quality conditions are in the watershed. And we've looked at it enough to know that there's certain areas, certain tributaries, certain points on the Colorado River where we don't have very good long-term data. In some places, we don't have any data at all. So what we're doing is empowering citizens to step up and help us out, take care of the river, provide some stewardship, and join a citizens' water quality monitoring team. And so these teams of folks will be training, and then they're assigned a particular location, maybe something that's in their backyard or, you know, a favorite place that they like to visit, and going out and grabbing samples once every month or two. And then those samples are analyzed through the River Watch program, which is supported by Colorado Parks and Wildlife. And we get the results back, and that data is shared publicly. We're able to analyze it. We can share that information with our citizen cleanup or our citizen monitoring teams. And so that way we just all get more information, which is great.
Education seems to be an important part of what you do, and I quote from your website, to increase the knowledge, awareness, and understanding to promote balanced stewardship in our watershed. How do you do this?
Well, one of the ways that we work on this, like we were talking about, again, stakeholders, is getting all the different players engaged in our efforts. And so we were talking about different water users, local governments. So I work for Garfield County, but we also have representation on our board from City of Glenwood, City of Rifle, other industries in the area. And so with all those partners, they help us understand better what the issues are. We also have a technical advisory committee that directs some of the research that we do, and they help us not only increase our data through all the work that they're doing, collecting water samples and analyzing them, but also just to best target our efforts.
So. Okay. So what partnerships and collaborations are going on at this time? I noticed the Tamarisk Coalition, if you might be able to tell us about that a little bit.
Sure. So we're partnering with the Tamarisk Coalition, which is another nonprofit. They're based here in Colorado, although they work all along the Colorado River, across all of the states that the Colorado River flows through. And we are partnering with them on this new campaign, and it's called Restore Our Rivers. And so the objective there is very much tied with our mission, which, again, is to maintain and improve the health of the watershed. And what they are looking at specifically is removing invasives. And so we've got a couple of prominent invasives that we see along our stretch of the river, and that includes tamarisk, sometimes known as salt cedar, and then also Russian olive. And so as you look across the rivers into the riparian areas, you can see where they dominate in places. And it's just not... What those two invasives do is they displace our native species, our willows and cottonwoods and the natives that all of our wildlife thrive on. So this Restore Our Rivers is actually multi-state initiative, and we're working to remove invasives and then come back in and restore the native vegetation that historically occurred.
I know how hard it is to get rid of tamarisk. I lived along the Rio Grande in New Mexico and involved in a number of prescribed burns. And this stuff just, it's really difficult to get rid of. Mm. So I know how hard that is. What are some of the ways that does the Tamarisk Coalition get rid of the salt cedar or the tamarisk at all? Are they involved with that eradication then?
Well, they're involved with helping groups like ours because they understand and stay on top of the state of the science in doing that, and they can provide resources that help local watershed groups like ours to do that. But one of our greatest allies in doing that is the tamarisk beetle.
Okay. So it's tell me about that.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's a it's a biological treatment essentially.
Okay.
And so these beetles are raised at an insectary here down in Grand Junction, and then they are released into the environment where tamarisk are already thriving. And they go in and they basically defoliate the tamarisk, and it ends up killing them. And so really it's the most effective method that we have out there. So, okay. Yeah.
That's good to know.
Garfield County Vegetation Management also works a lot on tamarisk removal. We've partnered with them on removing tamarisk in some areas as well. And in addition to replanting cottonwoods and other native species.
I'm interested in your film festival. I didn't know about it, so tell me some more.
Well, we get all of our films basically from the Wild and Scenic Film Festival. And actually, it's a good point to clarify that there are lots of different films with Wild and Scenic. And so this year we actually had two Wild and Scenic festivals, one that was with the Thompson Divide. And we featured all entirely different films from the film festival that the Thompson Divide did. So anyone who's interested could come to both and see something new every time. But we usually have it in February. And it's just something really fun to do on a winter's night. And the first year we did it, we sold out, actually, and we got really close to capacity this next year. But it's just a lot of fun for people in the whole Garfield County, Roaring Fork Valley, and we even have some people from Eagle who drive over to come to the film festival. And we really try to feature films on water, and obviously that's part of that's our main focus, but they're also films about having fun and adventure and enjoying the watershed. And they don't have to be in our watershed. We've had some that are around oceans and involve picking up trash. And we featured one from the Grand Canyon and others about watershed restoration. So just a breadth of films, and they're funny and engaging, and it's just a great time to bring friends and.
So how much does it cost?
I think this year it was 15, something like that which
right.
is not that much more expensive than going to see a movie where you don't get to like sit around a table and enjoy yourself and
right.
get prizes. We always have some cool swag that are donated by local stores. So it's really fun.
What's some of your other fundraisers that you do? Do you have any other fundraisers?
Well, the river cleanup is a bit of a fundraiser for us. And it also is a chance for us to get our name out there. And we had a local church group come to this last one and bring a lot of teenagers that came to clean up. It was really fun. And I think those are some of our main fundraisers. We helped host the State of the River this year in Rifle. That was a partnership with the Colorado River District. The full name is Colorado River Water Conservation District, I think. But they've actually helped us since the Watershed Council's inception with hosting meeting facilities and things like that. So we work with them a lot, and we work with them on the State of the River. And we've got a few new things coming up this year. In addition, a bike tour of Glenwood Canyon we're working on. And I think that's one of the main ones we haven't done yet. We're also partnering with the Glenwood River Commission on their cleanup that's coming up July 15th.
All right.
So lots of different things.
Lots of stuff to do. So, Lori, tell me about the inception of the council. How come it got started, and what was the deal? Why did we need a middle Colorado River watershed council?
Well, the group started back in 2009, and it was through the thinking of a few progressive water leaders here in our area who recognized that, gosh, in Colorado, there's over 100 different watershed organizations that are operating, but there was nobody looking at this middle section of the Colorado River at a watershed scale. And so this group is a little unique because it didn't form around any particular issue like most other watershed organizations do.
Okay.
So, so there were a series of stakeholder meetings that were held early on. And the question was posed as to do folks who live here and work here think that we need an organization like this? And so the answer was yes. And thus the Middle Colorado Watershed Council was born.
So what are some of your resources that you have available? I noticed you on your website, you talk about assembling money and resources to allow your work and to work with your partners to continue. So how do you use your resources, and what are they for you or for the public?
Which is also one of our goals.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah, let me take a shot at that one. So I think the resources that we take advantage of here is that we have a number of different entities that are working on various aspects of water already, in their own capacities, in their own jurisdictions. The beauty of a watershed organization is that we can cross political boundaries and ownership boundaries and things like that. And so we're in a unique position, since a watershed doesn't follow those sort of boundaries. It follows more of a geographic boundary. We're in a unique position to bring together different folks who have technical expertise, who are in a position to make informed decisions, who are in a position to manage lands and that sort of thing, and bring them together and see how we can work collaboratively and how we can leverage resources. And another resource that we can leverage is money. As a watershed organization, we're also in a really unique position to be able to attract some state and federal grants that are targeted to watershed scale work. And so as we can bring those financial resources to bear, we can work with other partners and I think do more with the resources that we have and get more accomplished.
So collaboration is a funny word. People use it a lot, and I don't think, you know, probably everyone of us here in the studio has a different meaning for what collaboration is. What is collaboration to you, to this organization?
Collaboration is to me a sharing. It's a sharing of, first of all, your interest in you know, what it is that you're most interested and passionate about, either as an individual or as an agency doing your work. And then being able to share that with others who you have that in common with. And so as we find, I think Morgan already mentioned that we have a technical advisory committee. We also have a riparian restoration advisory group. We have our outreach and education committee. And so we draw upon these resources, these people, human resources that I talked about, to volunteer their time on these committees. And that's where the collaboration really occurs, is when we're all getting around the table together and sharing what it is that we do, what our goals are, and then finding where we overlap and where we could do even more with the resources that we have.
Okay. Morgan, what about you? What's collaboration mean to you? Passion is important, it sounds like, isn't it?
It certainly is.
To do this?
Yeah, I mean, we board members put in a lot of time and energy into our board, and I really look forward to board meetings every month because these guys are my friends, and we have a lot of fun at board meetings. But, you know, I think one of the important things about collaboration is that our stakeholders are diverse. And sometimes it seems like water interests can be competing, but when we have everybody at the table, that we can understand their needs and how we can work together on solutions, because that's really the most effective way. And that's why our organization focuses so much on collaboration, is that we really do find that we need participation from everybody involved who's water users. And so, again, sometimes our discussions really bring new ideas to the table that we wouldn't have thought of. So it's really important to to have everyone involved. And again, you know, when it comes to our technical advisory committee, we have lots of different agencies, and we bring them together, and they have discussions that they might otherwise not have had. So the Watershed Council, I think what it brings that is unique, really, is that it's a place for everyone to come together and citizens to get engaged of all different backgrounds and locations and stuff like that. So our board is growing and growing in diversity, and I think that's really exciting.
So if someone listening with a passion for watersheds would like to get involved, what can they do to get involved with your organization in the last couple of minutes that we have?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's, like we've said, we have a number of different committees that they can participate on if you're interested in really delving in. And we are still looking for more board members, and the information and education or outreach and education committee. We also have a finance committee that's working hard to promote efficient use of our resources and the sustainability, quote unquote, of our organization. There's another word that has lots of different meanings.
That's for sure.
But, you know, so that's one way to get involved that I think is really great. But also in some of these events that we've mentioned, is a great way to participate, to join us for our river cleanup, and other events that we do, and participate in our citizen science groups. And we have students that are working on that as well through the River Watch program. So that's really exciting, that they get to get out in the field and get excited about rivers and, learn more about the watershed and maybe investigate what it'd be like to have a career in that. So, yeah, there are lots of opportunities of involvement of various levels. So
people can even get their hands dirty if they like to play in the mud and water, right?
Sure thing.
All right. Well, I really want to thank you for being with us today, both of you. You've been listening to KDNK's For Land's Sake, a public affairs program. And until next Tuesday, July 11th at 4:30, this is your host, Bill Kite, asking whatever you do to Mother Nature, that you do it for land's sake.